This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and online at kexp.org. My guest this morning is Steve Gilbert, an environmental health and nuclear disarmament advocate. Steve is director and founder of the Institute of Neurotoxicology and Neurological Disorders in Seattle and author of A Small Dose of Toxicology, The Health Effects of Common Chemicals. He is also the organizer of the website toxopedia.org, which has the mission of connecting science and people. Steve Gilbert is here today to tell us about Particles on the Wall, a newly published book connecting science and art in exploring major themes of today's nuclear age. Welcome, Steve.
Thank you, Diane. It's great to be here.
What is the purpose or goal of your book, Particles on the Wall?
The bigger goal of Particles on the Wall was to unite the arts and sciences to forge a more healthy and peaceful world. And Particles on the Wall focuses on issues of Hanford and the nuclear age. And we try to bring together poems, visual arts, and scientific information. We call them science factoids about Hanford and what went on out there, and a little bit about the nuclear age and radiation.
Why did you choose the title Particles on the Wall?
Well, that's a good story, actually. The whole idea of Particles on the Wall came about over happy hour between myself, Nancy Dickman, who was a poet here in Seattle and a peace advocate, and Bill Withrop, who unfortunately passed away, who was a very noted poet in this area. And we were having a drink, and we started noodling on how to do something a little bit different, how to bring together the arts and sciences. And we sort of thought of having an exhibit to bring these things together. And we were then joined by Diane Dickman, who more focuses on the visual arts. So we had somebody to cover the poetry with Nancy and Bill, Diane Dickman to cover the visual arts, and myself working on the science areas. So Particles on the Wall came about on a couple of different themes. You think of radiation particles and radioactive particles come out, gamma rays, beta rays, alpha particles, and also just putting up particles on the wall, because the exhibit was to put up science factoids, poems, and different particles that we thought would be to shape the exhibit.
Well, you've alluded a bit to this, but could you give an overview of what's in the book?
So the book has poems. It has a number of poems from noted authors. Nancy's there, Bill Withrop's there, several other people from Richland area. You know, the exhibit really started up as an exhibit before it became a book. And then we looked around for a visual artist, and we commissioned pieces. We asked artists in the area to write new poems or to have new material, new paintings, new visual art to explore the issues of Hanford. And we put them all together and tried to line the science factoids. In the book, one of the exhibits is about the B reactor. And the B reactor at Hanford was the reactor that created the first plutonium, the first large-scale nuclear reactor. And that created the plutonium for the Trinity bomb, the first test bomb, as well as the nuclear material that was dropped on Nagasaki. So with that, we explored it both from a scientific perspective, from a visual perspective, some really interesting representation of the B reactor, as well as a couple poems about the B reactor.
What kind of response did you get from the artists and poets that you contacted for the project?
You know, they were all very excited about the project because it was something a little bit different. And we've exhibited it three times now. We had it here in Seattle at Cafe Allegro with the initial exhibit. And I also want to mention we also collaborate with the Washington Physicians for Social Responsibility in this project. And then we moved it to Richland Library. And each place we collected new exhibits, and we also moved it over to Spokane. So it's been shown three times, and then we compiled it into a book and sort of highlighted some of the poems, some of the visual arts that sort of tell a bit of a story along with the science about Hanford and nuclear age.
The book is dedicated to William Withrop. Would you say a few more words about him?
Yeah, Bill Withrop was a really noted poet. He published several books. Downwind, Downriver was one of them. He was a really special person. I love Bill to death. And he worked with us on a bigger project, which is Particles on the Wall is part of, called Healthy World Theater. And he was the artist in residence, the first artist in residence, actually, at Washington Physicians for Social Responsibility. One of the exhibits that you'd see in the book, or on the, actually on the website too, shows Bill's father's hat, his hard hat, as well as his mother's rolling pin. And the rolling pin was a very important part of Bill because he wrote an incredibly good essay and some very good poems about his mother making cherry pies. I suggest those are some of the highlights. That look at the cherry pie poem that Bill wrote and also the essay. We didn't republish the essay, but it's in one of his books. And so Bill was very special. It was really sad to have him pass away before he saw the exhibit to its fruition.
Would you speak about how the book portrays the nuclear history of Hanford? And then also, how do you think the approach of the book brings out the history differently than just explaining facts?
Well, we tried to, you know, look at a little bit of the history as far as the river. Take the river, for example, which has been there for eons. It started with Native Americans there first inhabiting the region. So we try to look at how has the river shaped the area, and then what was the impact of the military coming in there. They really kicked out everybody from the area, from the Hanford, town of Hanford and White Bluffs. So we tried, one of the exhibits, one of the paintings, looks at the old school through barn boards. And sort of this old school is sort of a relic now. It's the skeleton of the building still there. It was actually used while they were building the reactors at Hanford as a staging area. But we tried to explore, you know, what happened to that region as the military came in, then it was taken over. All these reactors were put along the river. A lot of the river was contaminated by nuclear radiation. Willapa Bay with oysters picking up radiation. So we tried to look at these different aspects of it and explore not only what happened to the people, but also what happened to the environment along the region there and what happened to the reach, the Hanford Reach down there. And it's a really amazing place. I've been to Hanford twice to have tours there. And it, you know, it's big, but when you take a tour, you can drive around the bus, it's huge. It's a huge area. And you get to see these reactors. And I was very fortunate to be able to float down the Hanford Reach last year, and you see it from the riverside, and you see these huge intakes and outflows from the reactors. And it's really sort of a stunning thing to see the enormity of this project and what they did to that region.
Would you say more about how the book approaches concerns with radioactive contamination?
Well, we try to give a couple different examples of radioactive contamination, both for the people and the workers, as well as for the river and some of the animals and plants that picked up radioactive material. And we explore, for example, the tank farms. The tank farms are big tanks. There's 177 of them, I believe. Enormous quantities of radioactive and other chemical material was stored in them. Many of them were single-shell tanks, so they are leaking now, some of them. The outflow from those tanks is heading toward the river. So we try to explore a little bit about the tank farm. So we don't touch on everything at Hanford, but we try to examine different aspects of it and just sort of give you little snippets of what's going on there, you know, both from a heartfelt perspective as well as from a scientific perspective.
How does the book depict water contamination and air releases from Hanford?
Well, we have a couple examples. One was the Green River Run, which is a really infamous release of iodine, radioactive iodine, when the military decided to try a new approach to extracting the plutonium from the fuel rods. So the idea is when reactors are loaded with these fuel rods, they're radiated, then they have to extract the plutonium, which is a very intensive operation, done in these huge, long buildings with acid and all kinds of stuff. So they were trying a new procedure, and they ended up releasing all this radioactive iodine, which, of course, blew with the wind, and there's a number of people contaminated all the way up into Idaho, which became known as the downwinders. So we try to talk a little bit about that. We have a map showing that material, as well as exploring it from more the human side of what the consequences and the exposures. Bill Withrow, for example, he grew up in Richland and died of leukemia. And, you know, is that a consequence of Richland? You know, we try to explore a little bit of those concerns that people have in the area.
You said a bit about this earlier, but how does the book show the implications of Hanford for the Columbia River?
You know, the Columbia River is a really special river that, you know, we have dammed and exploited for decades. And we have, for example, there's a full-page picture of the Columbia River. And on that picture, we sort of looked at how much radiation was released into the river. And it's really astonishing when you look at the amount of curies, the radioactive material, that went out there and went downstream. And you look at, you know, the reactors were pass-through reactors. So the water was taken in, used to cool the reactors, and then dumped right back out into the river. And we try to explore that a little bit and radioactive material that comes out. Modern reactors are closed systems where they just circulate the water within the reactor to cool it. That's why you see those big cooling towers. But the big plutonium production reactors at Hanford were these single-pass things. So if there was an accident inside the reactor and one of the fuel rods broke, you'd get an increased amount of radiation that would just be flowing out through the reactor, from the reactor into the river. So we try to explore things like that.
Would you say a bit about how the book shows the effect of Hanford on local communities who were there?
I think the local communities, you know, I think this is partly from Richland's approach, was looking at different aspects of that and looking at the housing situation there, because in houses in Richland, they had different A, Bs, and C houses throughout the area there. So it's tried to explore a little about the housing situation and what happened at Hanford. You know, the book is an evolving book, and what we want to do is we take this exhibit around the different places, and as we collect more material, we'd like to expand that. We always put a call out for artists, of artists that are interested in exploring different aspects of Hanford or different aspects of nuclear age. We really welcome that new material for the book. So we really try to create sort of, like, in a sense, a dynamic and living book that'll be changed after each exhibit as we add new artist material. And we're going to have it on the web as both an ebook and as a hardcover book.
I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Steve Gilbert, co-author of the book Particles on the Wall, a book connecting science and art and exploring major themes of today's nuclear age. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. In what ways do you see the book promoting a quest for peace?
I think that, you know, in our society, we have enormous amounts of knowledge. And our idea is to try to bring together some of that knowledge as well as the heartfelt. So we're trying to bring the mind and heart together to show the consequences of what we do. We have incredible technology, and we don't always think through the consequences of the technology. You know, Hanford was amazing in that it produced all this plutonium for the Cold War, but they did a terrible job of thinking about the future generation, the consequences of the material they produced and the waste they left behind. And we really have to stop doing that. So one of the things that we try to bring out in Particles on the Wall is this collision between the technology we have and the consequences of that technology, both for the environment as well as for the people in the area.
Would you say a bit more about the Particle on the Wall art tours that have taken place?
So the art tours, thank you for asking that. The art tour has been really fun. The first one was Cafe Allegro at the University of Washington, right outside the UW. And that one was where we started collaborating with Washington Physicians for Social Responsibility and brought them into the picture. And this is work with a grant that we had from the Department of Ecology, and it's also part of the WAMNEC website, the Washington Nuclear Museum and Education Center website. So that's WAMNEC. And after it was in Cafe Allegro, we then moved it to a Richland Library. We had a really nice exhibit at the Richland Library. And you can see pictures of this on the Particles on the Wall website. And from there, I went over to Spokane. In Spokane, I was there for about a month in a coffee shop there. So it's been in very nice places, a coffee shop here in Seattle, a library in Richland, and a coffee shop in Spokane. And then it's going to go to Olympia. And Olympia will be a really fun place down the Capitol Theater. It opens March 5th to April 17th, and we have a closing reception on April 16th. So after that, it's going to go to Lacey at the Department of Ecology building. And we're always looking for new opportunities to exhibit, and we've applied for a grant. So over the next 2 years, we're hoping to take it to a lot of the college campuses in the area. And I, of course, have fantasies about making it a national exhibit, taking it to other places like Los Alamos or Rocky Flats or Savannah River, you know, reaching out nationally to bring together what are the particles that we have both past, present, and future that we need to be thinking about.
What kind of response have you gotten to the exhibit so far?
You know, the response has been really big. You know, we're happy where you come up with these ideas and you go, well, where is this going to go? But the reception at Cafe Allegro was incredibly well attended. People were flowing out the door. Every place we've taken it has been really good. We just launched the book. The book came about through Healthy World Press. We just started a new press up to publish the book. We had a release party just recently, and it was incredibly well attended. I think people are looking for new ways to explore information, you know, where things are going so fast. And we try to bring in both a little bit of visual, a little bit of poem, a little bit of the science, so you don't get overwhelmed with any one of those things.
What parts of the exhibit seem to most connect with people?
You know, I think that different parts connect people differently. I think that's one of the fun things about it. You know, if you're interested in a little bit of science, you can explore the science factoids. If you're interested in poems, there's some really great poetry in the book. You can read that, or you can just flip through it and look at the pictures, look at the visual arts. And then we have artist statements that goes with each visual presentation, so you can learn a little bit about what the artist was thinking as they the process when they developed that picture. Or you can just flip it open and randomly read a poem. So I think that's one of the power of this exhibit in the book, is it speaks to different people differently, and you can approach this from your own perspective. And I think that's one thing, with all the knowledge we have, we don't do a good job of presenting information. And this is really our attempt to explore a new way to present information to people and engage people in thinking both, you know, from a scientific perspective or technological perspective, as well as from the heart perspective. You know, where does this stuff go? What were the consequences to the Native Americans? What were the consequences to the people that were farming in that area? What were the consequences to the workers that were at Hanford? What are the consequences now as we try to clean up this huge mess? And Hanford is the most contaminated site in the Western Hemisphere.
Who is the book most written for?
The book was written for, I think, mostly the public, just to explore this. We didn't really have a target audience in mind. We were just putting together something that we felt reached out to the issue and spoke in a different way. So we hope that it speaks to many people.
What do you hope your book will accomplish?
I hope that the book motivates some people to speak out. You know, we have enormous amounts of knowledge. And we need to share that knowledge. So I'm hoping the book encourages people, encourages scientists to look more from an art perspective of this issue and look at it from a heartfelt perspective. And I'm hoping artists are encouraged to explore a little bit of the science and think about the consequences. I think we need artists exploring more environmental issues and more issues like Hanford and putting their artistic talents to exploring the richness of this material and what's happened to us, what we've done to the environment, what we've done to people, you know, like the Green Run and some of these other issues that, you know, the Department of Energy didn't let out until very late. The Freedom of Information Act was used to extract information about the Green Run. But we need to explore this stuff. We need to accept responsibility for what we've done and not repeat these mistakes. I'm hoping that this will give us an example of what happened at Hanford and also point the way for people not to do these things again.
Would you like to say a bit more about who else is involved in the Particles on the Wall project?
You know, Particles on the Wall is a pretty big project. I am just sort of the front person in this. I did the science part. But I really want to give credit to Diane Dickman, who worked on visual arts and history and memorabilia, Nancy Dickman, who's poetry and history and memorabilia. And that's something I didn't mention before. We have a lot of memorabilia, sort of history angles of this stuff, which I think is very important. And Ideal Levitas was sort of the project manager, a lot of work on pulling the exhibits together. The logo was developed by Gabe Williams. And I really want to thank the book editor. Maria Mergel did a lot of work on pulling the book together and is the editor-in-chief of Healthy World Press. So there was a lot of people, and then the artists were fantastic. We worked with a lot of great artists. Whitney Garrett, for example, did the cover of the book. This is a compilation of a lot of people's work. If you get the book, you can see in the back we have a picture of each one of our exhibits plus a list of all the contributors to those exhibits. You know, really take a look at that. You can look at some of the artists, T. Michael Gardner, Kathleen Flanagan, Sandra Hanks, all kinds of people contributed and really helped make this a success.
The Particles on the Wall book was an outgrowth of Healthy World Theater and also, I guess, the Healthy World Press. Right. Would you like to say a few words about those two organizations?
Yeah, Healthy World Theater was formed a number of years ago, and that was another sort of happy hour invention with Nancy Dickman and Bill Withrop. And we formed that to bring together the arts and sciences to forge a more healthy and peaceful world. So we look for jokes, haiku, poems, short stories, almost anything that sort of presents a different spin on the environmental issues and nuclear-related issues. And then as we moved along, we did the exhibit, and that was sort of our effort to actualize what we're trying to do with Healthy World Theater was, well, how do we present this to the public? So that's where we came up with Particles on the Wall. And then the exhibit was sort of interesting. I thought, well, we should look at doing a book. And that's why I thought, I've always had in the back of my mind, I've wanted to start a press that could publish short runs. And I think the ability to publish electronic, it was really changing the whole publishing world. So we decided to form a press. We started Healthy World Press to publish Particles on the Wall, and we're looking for other projects. One of the projects we're looking at right now is called Particles of E-Waste, Electronic Waste, and there's a huge consequence of all the electronic waste that we produce that go over to India, China, that are dismantled and really harm the people there. So we're looking at exploring that through a Particles book. So we're looking at doing a series of Particles books through Healthy World Press to, again, unite the arts and sciences to look at things a little bit differently. And also expand the website. You can go to our Healthy World Press website and learn more about their projects.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
You know, I'd like to leave the message that we have lots of knowledge and we really need to share that amongst ourselves. We need to share that knowledge so we can individually and collectively make better decisions. And I also want to point out that, you know, we spend an enormous amount of money on the defense of this country. And the military-industrial complex is huge. And I think we need to be more thoughtful about that. You can see what's happening in the budget process right now where people are dinging the social issues and we're not addressing the defense issues. And in that regard, I'd like to point out a book, The Bomb by Howard Zinn. I want to read a short passage from this book. It's a very short little book. I'd really recommend it. It came out right before Howard Zinn died. And he said, and this is in the preface of the book, a quote from one of his writings, in thinking, and this is the quote, in rethinking our history, we're not just looking at the past, but at the present, and trying to look at it from the point of view of those who have been left out of the benefits of the so-called civilization. It's simply but profoundly important that things we are trying to accomplish to look at the world from other points of view. We need to do that as we come into the next century. We want the coming century to be different. If we want it to be not be an American century, or Western century, or white century, or a male century, or any nation's or group's century, but a century for the human race. And I think that's what we need to do. we need to be thinking about the human race, and we hope that Particles on the Wall sort of brought some of those things together.
Well, thanks so much for being here, Steve.
Thank you very much, Diane.
You have just been listening to Steve Gilbert, co-author of the book Particles on the Wall, published in 2011 by Healthy World Press. For more information, check on the web at www.healthyworldpress.org. Again, that's healthyworldpress.org. The sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters program you have just heard will be on the streaming archive section of KEXP's website at kexp.org for the next 14 days. In addition, selected sustainability segment interviews are available as podcasts. Go to kexp.org, click on podcasting, and scroll down to Mind Over Matters sustainability segment. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the sustainability segment again next week on 90.3 FM and kexp.org.